We're holding in Rus, second Perek, Pasuk Dalet. This is the second Perek where Naomi and Rus have returned. Rus has decided to stay with Naomi and to come back. They are alone and really penniless. Rus has decided to go collect Leket Shekopeya, to collect basically alms for the poor to support herself and her mother, and her mother-in-law sends her out to go to the field of somebody who is a distant relative of theirs. He's a fairly close relative whose name is Boaz. Boaz was the Zaken Ador, he was the Shofet, he was the Gadol Ador basically. And it says, "Vihine Boaz ba mi Beis Lechem." Boaz came from Beis Lechem. "Vayomer lekotzim," and he told the people harvesting, "Hashem imachem, God be with you." "Vayomer le," told him, "Verach Hashem, God bless you." Boaz tells, "Vayomer Boaz the Nara nitzav al kotzim mi anara zos." He asks the fellow in charge, "Who is this Nara from? Who's this young woman here?" And he said, "This is the Moavi," and so on. Now, even if this were a secular book, and there is you have a very, very short and pithy book about incredible events. One does not expect to waste a sentence on Boaz comes in and it says, "Fellas, God be with you," and they say, "Yes, Captain, God bless you." I mean, what's nothing in this pasuk of any consequence to draw some backdrop to it. I mean, Boaz came in, this is the middle of the story. They had come, she went to pick field, Boaz comes in, he sees her, he spots her, and he says, "Who's this woman?" and so on. What's this hello, goodbye, goodbye, hello, this God bless you with you, what is it about? The word also, vihine, it means, and at that moment, at that point, so at that point Boaz arrived, okay, but at that point Boaz arrived and greeted everybody with God bless you. What is that about? So, hine amilas vehine ba. So we're now learning from Nachas Yosef. Lehadgish davash sheira davash bechidish. The word hine is something which points to some unusual event. One unusual event is that Boaz actually showed up. But it says also that it's a Mishnah in Brachas. And it is the Bryce elaborates on it, that at that time they enacted a takana that a person should use Hashem's names for greeting. So in suffix Alma, it's clear that all these descriptions are not just kind of to embellish the Megillas Rus, but it is something which is very involved with what's happening and has a very specific reason for being there. And therefore, we don't look at this pasuk as being a description of life in Israel at that time, but something of extraordinary significance happening. Chazal say, and the Medrash also, Sha'adraba, Kosnos Apelon al Chidish Godlosh is Harshas Bisrael, Apitakonis Boaz Beistino, Sha'odom Evaros Haver Shem Hashem. The Gemara says, and the Mishnah Gemara and the Medrash, that there was a special takana which in some ways might have been not so appropriate. This is considered to be less than the most appropriate, because using Hashem's name in this way is kind of profaning it. I mean, one of the great averis in terms of lack of reverence for Hashem Kesparach, it says, "Lisis Hashem Hashem al kecha l'shav." Do not use God's name in vain. So the halacha specifically is in a Shavua, that's where that Isra is, but it includes any misuse of Hashem's name except for the most significant and important things. Now, even swearing truly is considered to be somewhat less than ideal because you're involving Hashem in mundane affairs. So to use Hashem's name so flippantly, seemingly so, you know, okay, you know, how's the cake coming out? Well, with Hashem's, and you say Hashem's name, the batter is really getting creamy. There's something there that's less than reverent, and it's dragging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name into a very, very chulindika setting, an extremely not befitting setting. So, so it says here, that Chazal said they relied on a het of Eis Lasas Lashem Hefer Torasecha. That sometimes, for an extremely important reason, one may use Hashem's name. One may use in an appropriate type of action for a greater good. Not a real avera, but for instance, this is used in describing why it is that we could commit the oral law to writing, because there's an extraordinary need for it. So when it's not a clear prohibition, but it is something which is less appropriate for a great good, we do use it, and that's called Eis Lasas Hashem Hefer Torasecha. That when there's a time to do something for Yiddishkeit, for Torah, etc., we may bend the law, so to speak. Again, on a halachic level, this is very, very specific, and it's not applied generally, but it exists as a general idea, and this was one of them. So, on the one hand, it was considered to be not all that appropriate to mix Hashem's name in the mundane affairs. Well, how's the harvesting going? You know, Hashem, and use the full name, has really, really been helping us cut the wheat, and so on. And yet Chazal felt that era, they felt that it was of extreme importance to introduce it. And Chazal say, Al Chazal covers the echot mishlosh advarim shegoze bezer shalmata, viskimo and bezer shalmala. These are one of the three places in the Torah where we find it was an action initiated by Bezdin here, and the Bezdin in Shemayim agreed, because it says the Malach met Gidon and he said, Hashem imcha gibachayil, God be with you, the hero, and so on. So you see that the angel incorporated using that type of language, meaning that they agreed to it. Of all the takanis that they made for Kal Yisrael, Boaz is needed that type of approval from heavens. It's a whole new perspective on the interaction between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We seem really to cutting Hashem down to size. We're taking him from the sweeping universe down into the small minutia of day-to-day life. It's not something which is, it should not be seen in terms of diminishing Hashem's kavod, but rather broadening our sense of what is man's actions. In other words, it's supposed to shine a beam at our actions and say God is involved in this. Hashem wants this, and it's highly significant, done right, and so on. Like says in the pasuk, Hashem's quote-unquote modesty has made me greater. By Hashem agreeing to sort of be used that way, I've become extremely uplifted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he wants more than anything else is that his presence fill this world. And it's only possible for our actions. So it must be that our actions carry the divine into our world. We know this from Chazal, this sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in day-to-day actions. And I want to explain, he's talking about being involved. It's not an abstract, objective, theological kind of thing. You know, is Hashem doing it? Is Hashem HaPrat? Is God this, that? That's not, yes, everything is Hashem. The question is, do you want that to be listed as such? Let's give an example. If I say, if let's take a king who, you know, a Melech Basav Adam, a human king with the old time, covered and glory and so on, and I tell the king, and a king views that, you know, a magnificent new invention of mine, or some sort of great creation of mine, and I say this is by the king's grace, it is with the inspiration of the king, it is you know, something along those lines, that's very appropriate. But imagine, you know, I tell the king, you know, and by your inspiration last night I had two pastrami sandwiches with a side cut of this, and then, you know, and I put it into His Majesty's garbage cans and so on. And it's not, that's not a very harsh of a thing. So associating everything, our daily life, but yet we find Chazal constantly pointed out. It says Hashem made clothing for Adam and Chava. He did Bikacholim Avram, Nichma Velim for Yaakov, Kvur for Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that all of our activities can have the divine in it, and that they are extremely important. And he said there was an extraordinary need. He said all these things today to us are obvious. Certainly the words are obvious to us, and it's something that we could parrot and mouth. He says, "Ach mi yodeh kametzrich mo yinevim lachosh atoch am Yisrael." Who knows how much they needed to plow and plant this in the souls of Klal Yisrael? To plant these truths. Honor given to a person is honor given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefisha ha'odom hu tzel malakim shebebriya. Because man is a divine image. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu miskabed b'chvodo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own kavod is enhanced when man's kavod is enhanced. V'chein amur ba'avos, says Be'avos, ezu mechubed, who is a person who gets honor, ha'mechabed es abrios, someone who honors other people, shenema, like it says, u'mechabda yekoved, u'boza yekelu. I will give kavod to those who are mechabed me, and I will give dishonor to those that make light of my honor. The pasuk is talking about Hashem, and yet the Mishnah is applying it to man. A man who is mechabed other people, who gives kavod to other people, is being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn is mechabedim. I want to pause a few moments to reflect on this. This is something which is an incredibly different perspective on Bein Adam LeChaveiro than the world, than the secular world has. Many secular people, many atheists, are nice people, good people, kind people, giving people, and so on. And if you ask them about it, they will tell you, because generosity, nobility of the spirit, they will tell you very positive things about goodness and kindness. If you take a look at the Torah perspective, the Torah is in the Aseres HaDibros, the five commandments dealing with Bein Adam LeChaveiro are all written in the negative. Low, 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 low. Why? Why don't you describe something magnificent, great? I understand it's wrong to steal. I have no problem with that. No, it's wrong to steal, wrong to murder, wrong to this, wrong to that. But when you're presenting the showcase, the Aseres HaDibros are a showcase of Torah, wouldn't you want to put out the positive parts? Why the negative? It's also interesting the way Hillel Zaken phrased when a ger came to him, and he said he wanted to learn all of Torah on one foot. Hillel Zaken said, what you don't like, don't do to anybody else. What you don't like, don't do to yourself, don't do to other people. Okay, why didn't tell them the positive side of it? Why didn't tell them love for all of mankind, care for all of mankind, compassion for all of mankind? Why what you would like to do unto others? And how from that statement did he make the transition to the mitzvahs that are ben adam lamakom as well? It's something which a ger who only accepts ben chaver is not a ger by no shita. So what does that mean? And Rashi explains that the word reacha includes both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and other people. So he basically was telling him both. But I'd like to try to understand the pshat of how it is that he felt by giving him this information, he would cover both. And the answer is because our Ben Adam Lechavero is built on the understanding that every person has Tzalam Elokim, and it's not because I have a noble spirit that I decide to be a giving person and to give to all those around me. It's because the other person has a right, and he has rights that are inalienable. Those are rights that are his because they're his, and they have nothing to do with my great, magnificent spirit. It's something which I reflect sometimes that in the Declaration of Independence, when they said that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, I think they got something right. This sentence is true only if you say there's a Creator that endows. If there's no Creator endowing, then what does it mean the other people have rights vis-a-vis me? No. I mean, if everybody is his own developed person, so the only thing I know about myself is that I have things I want, and a person can make a case that I want to rob the other person. I can make a case that I really want to give to the other person. But at the end of the day, it's me and my largesse and what I'm doing. In other words, anyone who does not believe in half of that sentence, that they are endowed by their Creator, then inalienable rights doesn't mean anything. Yes, you can write in the Constitution, and then in the Declaration of Independence, you can write wherever you want. It doesn't mean anything. What it means is every single person has in himself Tzalam Elokim, and just like my need to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority is not because I choose to recognize it, it's because it exists. I have free will to listen or not to listen, but it's binding on me. Just like the laws of science, I can choose to jump off a building or not. The effect is not my choice. The effect is always going to be what nature has set up, and it precedes me, and my choices are there, but the choice is not to change the essence. It's just, you know, yes or no. Every single person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exists. I have a choice to ignore or to acknowledge, and I bear the consequences of my choice. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not exist predicated on whether I recognize it or not. The same is true of every human being and their rights. Their rights exist because they have Chelek HaKai Memal, Tzalam Elokim, and so on. And I need to acknowledge that. If a person acknowledges that, then he's in fact recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Because in that statement, I'm saying the first half of the sentence, that there's a Creator there, and the Creator has endowed them with certain rights and certain whatever it is. Call it whatever you want, however you wish. That is still the what we're talking about. Ezo mechuber chavsa brios shenema umechabde kaved. If a person is mechabed people, he's being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he's not mechabed people, he's showing disrespect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the mitzvahs are primarily, the mitzvahs of here are, the starting point is not what you shall do, but what you shan't do. You cannot do things because he has a right. Positive things are sort of an indication of what I would like to do, what I'd like to strive for. It's me. What you can't do is his right. And that's why it's much more firmly anchored. It's much more basic. I think the same thing with Hillel. The only type of Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi that could transition to Ben Adam L'Makom is this half. If I tell somebody, help other people, you'll like it. Help other people, they'll help you. Help other people, it's a much more pleasant world to live in. Those are wonderful sentiments, but they're about me. And it doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it recognizes the limited Metzias of Adam. In that case, it's not going to help. When a person recognizes that there is L'Savid L'Chavcha, I take issue when somebody wrongs me. I don't just feel, you know, if I eat something that doesn't taste good or it doesn't take well, it physically bothers me. That's that. But if someone else does something to me, I'm upset. You know, I don't have whatever it is. He didn't give me the money, or he gave me whatever it is, or he didn't pay me, whatever he did wrong to me. But more deeply than that, I am hurt by the sense that somebody could trample my rights and ignore my right of possession, etc., etc. And that's why, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, that's why Hillel told him, if you contemplate, you will recognize Anocha Hashem Elokecha, because they're a branch of the same thing. So Chazal at this point, this was, remember, a time of terrible anarchy. This was something which was Shvet HaShoftim. The people had total disregard for law and order, authority, and so on. And the only way they could do it is reintroduce that concept in a way that might seem less than appropriate. Boaz u'beizdino ha'yerishonu shechnisa tfisazu tachlich sachayim b'Yisrael. They were the first that introduced this concept into day-to-day life in Klal Yisrael. V'tiknu l'shatev shashayim shalashalom v'levorach es mashtem sh'odom b'shem Hashem. And they made a takana that when you greet somebody, you have to greet somebody with Shem Hashem, and you mevorach somebody with Shem Hashem. Kanira shayis takonazu davar shazman grama. It obviously must have been something that was very necessary in that context. Obaligdo pirtzes b'lech amiso l'shamish arukol tachlo zmanahu. It came to mend fences that Klal Yisrael had breached, and to bring healing to some malaise that affected that time period. Maybe we don't know exactly what, but this was very necessary. It may have been possibility of the fact that that may have caused the Lamelech to sort of give up Mekal Yisrael and say, well, you know, there's no hope for it, and so on. The Manhig Ador looked for an Eitzah, how to bring back Klal Yisrael to its root, to bring in something that will bring back the nation into the spirit of Torah. I want to pause a second here and reflect on something. You know, when we ask ourselves, what is the godless of Chachmei Yisrael vis-a-vis in leadership? So one of the things is this point. When we see something that is not right, we've tried to fix the thing itself. So if people are not coming to Minyan, we'll make a big Kenesis, or come to Minyan, we'll give rewards, we'll give punishment, we'll do whatever it is. But that's usually not ideal, that's usually not what helps. Usually what you want to do is, you want to find the root and make some takana that will speak to the root of the matter, some takana that will that will make a change in that which caused it. So here we have a generation that is dissolute, tremendous upheaval, and Chazal said it's because they have divorced the divine from the day-to-day life. And let's make a simple takana. Let's make a takana that people learn to use Shem Hashem in daily. It seems to us kind of far, and yet this was very effective. We'll see in a second. So understanding the value of Chachmei Yisrael in the fact that their takanas are not, they don't make takanas that are immediate. It's always a reflection on the root of something. What is causing something? Where is it coming from? Where is it going to? And then let's work with that. So he says, take a look how paletic it is. Maim darka shpash vachuk do Yisrael. Hatakona chadosha nisakno te lahorim es kavar adam she ismayit. Ubechay lahav lezatzim hiyom shaboy. This takona was meant to uplift kavar adam. Loshen zu shal shel shol ha-shem imochem inerak bracha. It's not only a blessing, God be with you. Elohi hatzara, shashem sheikhinim ne adam. Umimela, harezu mechayev, shamachni atorah v'maisim atorim. It's a challenge. God is with you. You're doing Hashem's work. Let's think about it. A person who's a Rebbe, machanech, so somebody says to him, you have to be very, very careful. You have to have tremendous work ethic because you're doing Hashem shlichus. Okay, I get that. Somebody else is a emergency room doctor and they bring in all sorts of cases and I tell them, you know, you're doing Hashem shlichus here and bringing life to people. You really need to take it very seriously and have a very strong work ethic. Okay, let's say somebody has a grocery store and he sells bread and milk. Somebody else fixes people's wiring, and I tell him, you're doing Hashem's work. You are adding a piece to the bria that's needed, and you need to take it very seriously. That's novel. That's not. I mean, it takes a lot of reflection to understand that that Hashem is there in my plumbing work, and my electric work, and in every facet of human activity. It's not pashut. And therefore, he says, it wasn't just a greeting. It was meant to constantly reinforce. And when a person does something, he's reinforcing it. It also means that there's a certain egalitarian it's truth. Everybody is part and parcel of one humanity, because when you're talking about Tzelem Elokim, it doesn't come in measurements. The infinite is not measurable by bigger and smaller. What it is measurable by is different angles. In other words, your job is to take care. Your job is to take care of this. Your job is to take care of that. But bigger and more valuable, infinite does not take on value. So there's a certain equality of it that it creates the importance of everything. He says, Takana gdola zu ichnisa b'tacham Yisrael shitach ala ruach ha-toyer, ruach ava sabriya, ruach ha-kar zoz chibosh ha-odom ha-sha-odom. This takana brought into Klal Yisrael a new perspective on the chshivas of every person. V'zeo gam kivun sefer Rus. And that's really the underlying message of Rus. She'kol ikri bo lamdeinu es gredel man losa shemidas ha-chesed abnu ha-kar zoz ha-odom. It's there to teach us how significant chesed is, which is built on understanding what a person is. The Yesod of Malchus Beis David is built on this. It is like that, because David HaMelech himself was somebody who was given short shrift. He, the Navi came and his father said, "Nah, there's no. I mean, yes, I have some of my children are very eligible to be king. This one. And then David is a spoiled little Mujinka. He sort of is the cute kid hanging out. Nobody, there's nothing there to look at. That is a lack of understanding the potential of a person. That's Tzal Malakim. This whole story over here, and this is a point that it keeps making on and on, again and again, is really the core point of it. Boaz was the Gadol HaDor, and it was a day before he was dying, a few days before he was dying, he was the Gadol HaDor, and he was somebody who sat at the very top of the hierarchy. Rus came back, and Naomi beaten people who really were at the low end of society. Ruth was the person who people felt had misled the great noble family. She was the more obvious who had sort of led him astray. She was a good-for-nothing Moavia, not much. Okay, so she might be Jewish, it's nice. But you're talking about somebody with very, very little personal value. That's the way they looked at it. And it was terribly, terribly. It was a terrible step down. It wasn't a step down. It was a fall down of 100 floors that somebody of Boaz's station should stoop and marry Rus. I mean, you're talking about the greatest, most significant, bending down and marrying the lowest of the low. And the pasuk tells me there is no lowest of low. Here. He recognized in her, and we'll see next time, where he saw her actions and he said, there is something there. And if there's something there, then less and more doesn't mean anything. Then we're going to keep looking at that at that Nekuda Loikis, and we're going to see how great of a person she is. Takana Gedola Zu, Hichnisei Fotarami Sol Shir Chadosh Rachter, it brought in a whole different perspective, which is the foundation of Rus. Il mole rucha shel takana zu, if not for the spirit of this takana, mi yodea im efsha haya, shashofet yovei dvarim nayin achris, who knows if he would have even bothered to say hello to her, v'lo od ala shagam yisos ishan, to take her as a wife, katsad azeh doresh achanas rabbas. This required a lot of preparation, a lot of mental, emotional preparation. Gam ma'oma yimisagid lekach, il mole amifta gadol. The nation would never have allowed it. They would have told him, this is a terrible thing to do. People began to take a different perspective on what a human being is. They were able to recognize the good no matter where it is, even if it came, it had made its way from a different nation. Nimtza, this takana is integrated in this Megillah, because it was an important prerequisite that allowed for the end to develop. And it is hinted at in the word vehine. Kloma, v'hinei Boaz bo mimoshel Sanhedrin takana chadasha imoy, like, you know, Moshe Iru. And Boaz has just come from the time from the sitting of the Sanhedrin where they made this takana, and look what comes out of it. Kol zeh mesubah bavlo. This is all just hinted at because this whole hashpa was smuyim and ayin. It was a hashpa that really was hidden from the eye. It wasn't easily sensed. There wasn't a direct takana. Everybody must marry Gioris. Everybody must this. Everybody must that. It was a takana with giving people an insight into what a human being is, and everything followed. So it's incredible. The pasuk is so incredible when you read it now. The way Chazal opened our eyes and the way he explains it. She went to that field. Vehine, Boaz was lechem. Boaz is just coming from the Sanhedrin, where they made this new takana. And if a Sanhedrin made this takana, it means this now became part of Klal Yisrael's insight. And vayomal akotsrim, Hashem imochem. He told the kotsrim, the guys, the peasants, kind of cutting the wheat. Hashem imochem. Hashem is with you. And they said to him, Yivarecha Hashem. They all of a sudden realized that the humblest of activities includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, if a person takes notice of it, and if a person and gives it its due. Then Boaz turns to his Nara and says, and who is this girl? Now that this takana had sensitized Kal Yisrael and had given us the ability to see the Hashem in everything, the Hashem in Mochem, now the eyes are open to see what Rus is. And even if the Ploni Almoni, we'll see later, didn't see it, Boaz saw it. The nation recognized it, and the Rus became the archetype. She became the person who brought into the world David, who himself at first glance didn't seem to show Malchus. But when the Navi looked at it with a divine inspiration, he saw in him the future Malch Yisrael. That same David HaMelech, who's Melech HaMashiach, his job is not to help the Lamdim become bigger Lamdim, so he can be a Tzadikim. His job is to find every forsaken soul in Klal Yisrael, spread the world over, and find it. He David Melech HaMashiach's job is to become its Nitri Yisrael, and to be able to see the Hashem Mochem in every single person, no matter what. This is what this takana created. This allowed Boaz to see it in Rus. This allowed the nation to accept that wedding. This allowed for David HaMelech to come from these roots, because those are the roots that David needs to come from. And this David is the one that recognizes the Hashem Imachem and Kal Yisrael and brings together Nitri Yisrael and Herev Yameinu.